The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, guys? It's Harrison Phillips here, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellows on the Circle the Wagons podcast on Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills, baby.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
The Buffalo Bills lose a heartbreaking game in Nashville. It came down to the last seconds, 34-31 against the Tennessee Titans, and we are here to recap that loss. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I am your host, Nate, and we are going to discuss the Bills' loss tonight, Monday Night Football over the Tennessee Titans to the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry, 34-31, as we mentioned earlier. We'll go over our thoughts of the game, some stats of the game, our sweet, sassy, molassy plays of the game, and as always, our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers with some help from our followers on Twitter. We're going to give away two different items. At the end of the podcast, we're going to give away an Ed Oliver jersey, signed jersey, and a Daryl Talley signed jersey, and some T-Public merch. So stay tuned for that. But I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. And fellas, going into this game, the Bills just came off a huge win against the Kansas City Chiefs. They were riding high. They pretty much demolished them in Arrowhead. So you're thinking that this is going to be, at least I thought the Bills were going to win this game. I went on a pregame show for Buffalo Rumblings, the YouTube channel, the multicast channel, whatever you want to call it, with Joe Miller, Bruce Nolan, and Big Newt. And we discussed this, and we all had the Bills winning pretty handily by at least two scores. And we were just kind of figuring, well, last time the Bills played, they didn't have Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano and Starley Tulele and Levi Wallace. And they do this year, and the Bills are playing much better defense. You thought they'd be able to stop Henry like they did before. It all started and began with him, and they couldn't do it. And it came down to that last play of the game. So let's start there, John and Mike. I'll start with you, John. That last series of the game where the Bills were down 34-31. They were driving deep into the Titans' territory. Josh Allen dove on the sidelines to get a first down. He didn't end up getting it. It was fourth and inches. And instead of the Bills electing to kick a field goal just to tie it and go into overtime, they decided to go for it on fourth down, which they did not get. The Bills offensive line could not create room for Josh Allen. He slipped, it looked like, and they ended up going short, and that was the game. So, John, I'll ask you first, what did you think of the play call? Did you agree or disagree with the call to go for it on fourth down? And obviously, you know, any more thoughts on that?
Yeah, Nate, I mean, obviously this was a rough game overall. I texted you guys before the play happened, like, oh, they should just go for it, and you know, I don't know how much of that was me just being a fan, like, oh, you should always go for it. But I do feel like it was the right call. I obviously, no unfortunate outcome. You know, it did look like Allen slipped. This is, it's a tough game, man. I roller coaster ride, you know, the lead changes and everything. I'm just still trying to recover from it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a tough one. Tough one. Mike, what'd you think about the last series, specifically Josh Allen diving for the first down, obviously not getting it, and then going for it on fourth down? Did you like the call? What about the execution? Let me know your thoughts.
Loved the call. It's just great to pulling back and looking at the forest for the trees. Like, it's so great to see the Bills like leading the power rankings, all the national media talking about them. We've been waiting our whole lives for this. So it's exciting. And I don't think this really changes the discussion. It's not like they got destroyed. Like, they're a preeminent team in the NFL. Tennessee, this, I agree with John. Like, this felt like, even watching the game, there, it never felt like the Bills were going to lose until the last play. Until Tannehill was like in the victory formation, you're like, you thought the Bills were going to pull this out.
I still thought they were going to pull it somehow, out, even in the victory formation.
Man, it's like, if it's just what a confluence of events. If he was wearing longer cleats and didn't slip, right? Like, it looked like he just lost purchase and went down. And man, we're all prisoners of the moment. So those last couple plays loom large, but McKenzie's return was a touchdown. And then the play right before the fourth down, Allen was like inches away, right?
Inches, yeah.
And then the goal line is just, oh, it's incredible. But that's why you love it, right? Seven lead changes. It was a really fun game to watch. Instant classic. But I love the call because Tennessee had scored six times leading up to the conclusion of the game. So you get the feeling, if the Bills played for the tie and Tennessee got the ball, like, nobody was stopping Derrick Henry on that night. He's just what a player, what a beast. So I did like the call, and that closes out week six, and the Bills are still two games up leading the division. So, like, I don't think anything changes, really, in my mind. Like, it was a great game, and I love where the Bills are headed.
Yeah, there was a lot of, it was like a series of unfortunate events on that last drive, that Isaiah McKenzie, 101-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, gets called, was it Andre Smith, gets called for a holding call, which looked like the correct call. It looked like it could, you know, they could have not called it, but at the same time, it was at least a little bit blatant, a little bit more than some of the calls that have gone against the Bills in recent weeks. That was a heartbreaker. Would have obviously loved to see the Bills go up by four and then force the Titans to have to run down the field and score again. That was unfortunate. And then, you know, the Josh Allen play, which would have been a highlight reel play had he gotten that first down, still might be, just him like diving, you know, up in the air with three guys and I'm trying to reach the football over. I mean, it's just like, it's vintage Josh Allen, right? Harkening back to the hurdle last week, right?
Can you harken back to something that happened a week ago? John, what's the time frame on harkening?
John's in a spiral of depression right now. You can't ask him about semantics at this point in the night.
I would say, John, what's your over under 20 years?
Recall. How about recall? It recalls back to harken back to the days is usually the phrase. Harken back to the days. Well, about roughly 7 days
ago. Like before this life altering technology. Like, oh, harkening back to the time before cars.
I feel like when you harken back to something, it's something that you talk about often. So because it's been such a short period of time, you haven't been able to talk about it as often. Like if it was like 10 years ago, you keep harkening back, you keep talking about it, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas this has only been a week, you talked about it a couple of times maybe.
Right? Like, yeah, yeah. So not the correct word usage. Thank you, Mike and John, for pointing that out. I can't wait to harken back to the days where you stop criticizing my word usage. But no, yeah, that play was unfortunate. It didn't look like it was a bad call, at least again, you know, like the holding call. Like, I could see why they made that call, and it didn't look like he was definitely past the pylons. Unlike that Cole Beasley touchdown, or at least what I thought was a touchdown, where I thought he went, I thought he crossed the goal line, and then they just ran another play really quick. It's like, no, you guys don't have to do that, because it's not the other team that had a, or it's not, you didn't have a questionable call. It could go against you. It was, I don't know. But anyway, yeah.
And I agree. Just unfortunate, I agree. I like, thought the like, same.
About the Cole Beasley, like, not touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like he had it. I don't know why they didn't challenge that one, but, you know, McDermott's been better about his challenges. You can't lose them if you don't use them. So there was the play right after on 4th and inches, and Josh Allen just, it was a botch snap or run or slip. And I like the play mostly because, like John said, the aggressiveness. John, you're like the most aggressive guy over the text message chat. You're like, oh, go for it every time. It's like, oh, it's like 4th and 20 in your own 10-yard line. John's like, go for it. Game's up.
No, not every time, but when it makes sense to do so.
It makes sense to do so. Okay, 4th and 20 on your own 15. Like, you got at least.
like the classic thing for me is when you're in no man's land, right? You're like too long for a field goal, too short for a punt, and it's like 4th and 4 or shorter. Like, every time teams do the wrong thing, like that's a classic example.
Well, it's like with this specific example of them trying to get the first down, you know, you're basically, you're putting the game in your hands to win it right then and there. You're basically saying, you know, I have a chance to score a touchdown in 3 yards now, as opposed to, you know, getting the tie, then hoping that you get the ball back after the kickoff or after the coin toss, and then hoping that you score a touchdown and that the other person doesn't score a touchdown first, or then you get a field goal and the other person doesn't get a field goal first. It's like all these mental gymnastics and things that could last, you know, another half hour or so, and all these things that are out of your control. Whereas in your control right now, you have enough time. It's not like the time was the issue right then, because they had timeouts, and it was just, can I get the next 3 or 4 yards to get that touchdown and score and win? So I like the aggressiveness. I mean, obviously not happy with the outcome, but I think they made the right call. I didn't necessarily like the play call either. I wish that maybe there was a little bit more either trickery or whatever they did. Like, it felt like whenever they did something a little bit different, they scored or they did well on, whereas if they just did the typical drop back and pass, like, they didn't have as much luck that way. But anyway,
that's a good point. Look at the 2-point conversion, right? Yeah.
Wide open. Allen was wide open on that one. we're going to get into some sweet sassy molasses plays of the game, but yeah, I back and forth, like Mike said, lead changes and stuff like that. It was an exciting game. I don't feel nearly as drained as I did from the game last season where they lost 42-16. That seemed really rough. That was the game where Mike gave us the horse in the parable thing to kind of put it in perspective, so that we all didn't lose our minds after that. But fire emoji ratings for Josh Allen tonight. We're going to go into stats of the game.
Let me say one more thing about the call. Like, it seems like and I'd just be curious to what you guys think. Like, it seems like everybody talks about the emotion attached with going for it on 4th and 1, right? Like, give your team a chance to win, right? Like, put the ball in your best player's hands. But just mathematically, I think it's the best decision, right? Wouldn't you say? Like, there was something... like in basketball, if you have 1 second left to shoot a 3-pointer, and your probability of making that is like 33%, and your chance of making the 2-pointer to tie is 45%. So a lot of people would say, like, oh, shoot the two pointer because it has a higher percentage of going in. But then you have to factor in the 50-50 shot at overtime, mm-hmm. right? So, like, it just seems the cold hard statistics of it would. Taking all of the emotion out of trying to win it. Like, I like the math of just going for it there when you need an a couple of inches, right, rather than going to overtime, especially when you'd have to play against Derrick Henry.
When you talk about, you know, something being 45% likely, but then you're saying, well, it's not 45% likely to win, it's just to not lose. Mm-hmm. So you're tying, and then
you're 50-50 in overtime, really.
Yeah, exactly. You're compounding a probability, which is probably in the end less than the chance to win the 33% that you mentioned earlier, obviously, you know, given those statistics. So I don't disagree with the play calling or the logic or thought. I'm glad I have a coach that doesn't play to lose. And, you know, with the way that the game was going, there was no guarantee that, you know, if the Bills didn't get the ball back, that Henry wouldn't have run it in. I mean, they kept mentioning on the broadcast how much better he is as the game goes on into fourth quarter and overtime. He's like at 6.2 yards per carry. Like the first quarter, it's like 3.8. In the second quarter, it's 4-something. In the third, it's 5-something. And then the fourth quarter, it's like 6-something. So he just, you know, he just wears you down.
Overtime, it's probably like 20+.
They didn't have a stat for it because he never gets tackled in overtime. It's just infinity. It's just his yards per carry or wherever the end zone is. Yeah. Let's talk about Derrick Henry real quick. You know, the last three games that the Bills played against the Titans, they were able to kind of bottle him up and stop him. But this game, he had his way with them. He was like, my comparable for Derrick Henry, he's his own guy, but he kind of reminds me of Brandon Jacobs. Wait, let us guess. rhymes with Brandon. Yeah, Brandon Jacobs from the Giants. You remember him?
Jeez. I would have said like Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, no. Henry's way bigger than Marshawn.
Earl Campbell, man. Yeah.
That's hearkening, John. That's an appropriate hearkening.
You are hearkening back to before we were born. John's like,
in the same franchise. Same franchise, even, right?
Same franchise. You're right. Same franchise. Speaking back to hearkening back, what'd you think about that? Mike Vrabel hearkening back to the Music City Miracle by trying to pull one on that punt return where it was actually called a forward pass against the Titans. And
let me tell you something. You know what Vrabel was good at? The reverse jinx. He looked sick to his stomach from the opening kickoff, and I think it was premeditated so he could put the reverse jinx on us.
Wait, so by running the play, he put the reverse jinx on us?
No, from the opening kickoff, from the beginning of the game.
He wanted to put the reverse jinx on us by being sick? Yeah,
just be jinxing us?
I'm just not following your logic.
Can you reverse jinx?
No, like, you know, in fantasy football, you're like, oh, no, you're going to win. You know, I suck, this and that. You're like trying to like reverse jinx, right? The way he looked on the sideline, every time the camera looked at him, he was shaking his head. It didn't matter if he was winning or losing or what. Like, since the very beginning of the game, he just looked like he's like, looked disgusted.
Wait, you're not actually like, when you like, oh, good game, you're probably going to win. You're just trying to screw us?
Yeah. Oh.
John used to do that crap all the time in fantasy. Hey, good game, you're probably going to win. It's like, John, you're up by 30 and you have three players left to play on Monday Night Football. I have no one. Yeah, good luck. You'll probably win. man. So the reverse jinx, huh? Nice. Nice, John. So Vrabel is as underhanded as John, perhaps, in real football. Somebody tweeted at us. It was pretty funny that he looks like a high school gym teacher, Mike Vrabel, or something like that. He just has that vibe with like the gelled hair and stuff. He just looked confused most of the game. When he wasn't angry, he was just confused. Like, huh? Like, what? Like, just maybe just confused. Not confused at like the play. Just like, where are we? Like, what is that? Like, is that a scoreboard up there? Like, is that? I don't know.
It's kind of like how Kelsey looked last week, right?
Yes. Oh man, the camera loves those guys that are like those big dudes that look like
the close cropped hair,
those big goons, you know, you had cropped hair
looking up at the scoreboard,
mustache. Look up the mouth agape, right, Mike? Isn't that what you said about Kelsey last week? Huh? What? Oh, man. Like, another thing, too, that makes me think of, Mike, you kept mentioning how last week they were showing the Chiefs sidelines way too often, it felt like. And this week, I got that feeling about the Titans, too. And I don't know if I'm overly sensitive or, you know, I feel like the conversation and the focus of tonight's game was just like Derrick Henry, you know? And Derrick Henry is amazing, don't get me wrong. But, like, you also have an MVP caliber quarterback on the other side. And I feel like if this was, like, a Mahomes-Henry thing, they would show Mahomes most of the time. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like I don't know what the Bills have to do to get the focus of a primetime broadcast when they have the better record, they have the better team, even though they didn't win. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little sensitive to it for all the years of not being.
I'm at the point where, like, I don't even care anymore. Like, it is what it is. And, you know.
About the Bills media bias like life?
Yeah. Like, I'm just so used to it at this point. It's like, whatever. Like, just, I don't even care. Like, they called Josh Allen Tannehill at one point.
That was funny.
Like, come on.
That was funny. It was that play where
he batted it down.
He batted it down. And like, oh, great veteran play by Tannehill. It's like, wait, what? Nobody corrected him. Yeah, I still don't like the media bias, but I don't let it bother me too much. You're right. It's just funny. It's just worth noting. I'm sure all Bills fans noticed it, as it seemed like they did in tweets and replies. So let me go into stats of the game.
Stats of the game.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Well, people can come up with statistics to prove anything, Kent. 40% of all people know that.
Stats of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Let's go to the Bills first. Bills, Josh Allen, fire emoji rating. This is something we started this season for Josh Allen's performance. Each week, we give him a fire emoji rating out of 5. And I'll go first this time. Josh Allen, John mentioned earlier, 74% completion percentage, 35 for 47. 353 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. And I'm going to say that I'm going to give him 4 or 4.5 fire emojis. I'm going to give him 4 just because of that slip up at the end, which might not necessarily have been his fault, but I'm going to give him 4. Mike, how many fire emojis do you give Josh in tonight's performance? He basically was the entire offense.
Yeah,
not to sway your opinion.
4 feels right. He basically put the team on his back and carried him for sure. But that last play looms large, right? Like, that's what we're all going to remember.
John?
Yeah, I agree with 4. I mean, there were also other plays in the red zone. If you remember, in particular, after the Emmanuel Sanders hold, there were a couple of plays in a row where he, you know, either missed a guy or, you know, 4 sounds right.
Yeah, the beginning of the game, it kind of hurt them to get 2 field goals instead of at least 1 touchdown on those possessions. So that was unfortunate, obviously, but didn't turn the ball over minus that 1 interception, which was the first play, basically. The Bills got the ball towards the end of the second quarter. And Josh Allen passed it to the left hand. It was like to the left, and it was intercepted by Keith Byard, or whatever his name is. Who cares? If he had gotten that first down and they got the touchdown, maybe you're talking 5 fire emoji rating. I think that's fair for that one. So, Mike and John, I'll give you this quiz. How many rushing yards did the Bills running backs have in today's loss? How many rushing yards did the... Now, Mike went first last time in the quiz we did for Stats of the Game. John, how many rushing yards did Bills running backs have today? Don't look down at your phone.
I'm trying to think like how many Allen might have had. Like 50?
I'll go under.
John's like, no, wait, 45. Make John make it difficult, or Mike make a difficult decision. 45 and a half. John, you go with 50. Mike goes under. It was actually 51. So yes! Good guess. Mike obviously thinking that the running backs weren't a major part of it, because they weren't really. 13 carries for both Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. Only 51 yards rushing.
That might be not a great game, not terrible. Might be brought down.
So Josh Allen, so the leading rusher for the Buffalo Bills, Devin Singletary, 5 carries for 27 yards, 5.4 yards per carry. Josh Allen, second leading rusher, 9 carries for 26 yards, 2.9 yards per carry. And Zach Moss, 8 carries for 24 yards, 3 yards per carry. As far as leading receivers for the Buffalo Bills, Emmanuel Sanders leading the way this week, 5 receptions on 8 targets for 91 yards. Stephon Diggs, 9 receptions on 11 targets for 89 yards and a touchdown. Stephon Diggs had a great game today. Emmanuel Sanders had a great game today. Cole Beasley back in the mix. Now, I think I mentioned earlier that I did a podcast with Joe Miller, Bruce, and Big Newt, and we were just basically previewing the game on the Buffalo Rumblings YouTube channel. And someone asked if Cole Beasley was going to be a bigger part of the offense with, because is he going to get more than 40% snaps? And my answer to that was, yes, I think this is going to be the game where he brings it together. And third and Cole Beasley did, 7 receptions on 9 targets for 88 yards and 1 touchdown. And he did have a touchdown on third down. So that was for you and for you guys, for Mike and John. So Dawson Knox, I'm only going to mention Dawson Knox just because he had 3 receptions on 3 targets for 25 yards, and then he was injured the rest of the game. So Tommy Sweeney had that 1-yard touchdown reception. Hopefully Zach Moss will be back next week. No sacks by the Buffalo Bills on defense, which is kind of crazy because the stat going into the game was that Tannehill gets sacked every 10 snaps or something ridiculous like that, like 20% of the time or something, or was it 10% of his dropbacks, whatever, were sacks. Something, just 20 sacks already. He had 20 sacks on the season in the first 5 games, and he had the Bills' defense pass rush had 0 sacks. They did have 1 interception. Jordan Poyer had that 1 interception. Great play by him. Let's go to the Titans side of the ball real quick. Ryan Tannehill, 18 for 29, 216 yards, 0 touchdowns passing, 1 interception. That is the most Ryan Tannehill stat line of Ryan Tannehill's. Running the ball, Derrick Henry, obviously, 20 carries, 143 yards, 3 touchdowns, 7.2 yards per carry. Like, that's just, I mean, we're going to get into Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers lately, but I'm going to focus on one of those. And then Ryan Tannehill had 2 carries for 3 yards, 1 touchdown. He had that 1 rushing touchdown. Oh, and by the way, Mike and John, not only did I think the Bills were going to win just because, you know, I mentioned all the players they didn't have last season when they played them, but the Titans were losing starters left and right in their secondary. They lost Taylor Lewan in their offensive line. And you're just like, okay, well, the Bills are going to take advantage of it. Wrong. The Bills, I mean, Julio Jones went out with a hamstring injury at one point. You're like, okay, like now it's going to finally start to catch up to the Titans. It did not. AJ Brown's.
We had no answer for the pressure they were bringing on.
No answer to defend. Yeah. Yep.
We weren't blocking, and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. It definitely felt that way. Receiving the ball, Titans leading receiver was AJ Brown, 7 receptions on 9 targets for 91 yards. Julio Jones, and that's about it. Let's see, how many sacks did the Titans have on the Bills? 3 sacks on the Buffalo Bills. So obviously not a great game defending against the Titans pass rush. And obviously Josh Allen being Josh Allen, it would have been a few more sacks if he wasn't as good at evading the pass rush. I want to give this stat out. I want to do a shout out for Tyler Bass. 3 for 3 tonight, long of 52 yards for field goals, 2 for 2 for extra points. I thought he had a really good game. And let's see, are there any more stats that I'm missing? Dawson Knox was a former high school quarterback. He connected with Josh Allen on the 2-point conversion. I know they mentioned this in the broadcast, and I know a lot of people listening knew that, but Dawson Knox is a former high school quarterback. Of course, he hurt his hand on the one play, so even they mentioned that it was he hurt his hand even before that pass, but he wanted to be in for that pass. So that was pretty cool. And that does it for Stats of the Game. Stats of the Game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. We are going to take a quick commercial break. After that, we'll go into our Sweet Satsy Molassy Plays of the Game and our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers and giveaways. So stick around.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. This is our recap show. The Buffalo Bills lost 34-31 against the Tennessee Titans, and we're continuing our recap portion of it. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm with my co-hosts, John and Mike, and let's get right into the Sweet Sassy Molassy Plays of the Game.
Sweet Sassy Molassy, get out the checkbook and pay grandma for the rub down.
Our Sweet Sassy Molassy Plays of the Game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago, which we're almost certainly going to be visiting there after the bye. Mike, you're the last one I just had to check with, but we're thinking about going to DeLago. I probably should talk to you beforehand about this. But for the Jaguars game, the 1 p.m. game on November 7th, a couple of weeks away, because we have the bye week next week, the week after, we're thinking about going to DeLago. If anyone is interested in catching up with us or whatever, we'll be at the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago, our feature sponsor of the podcast. Just talking with them. We've done it a few times in the past. We interviewed Bruce Smith there, which was a really cool time. So we're looking to do that. And what's cool is they're very they accommodate us very well, so we can record the podcast literally right after in one of the lounges. So that's always a cool time. So you can give us your Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers in person, and hopefully it's a win because it's against the Jaguars. So it'll be a fun time, fun game to watch. So, John, I'll let you go first. What is your Sweet Sassy Molassy Play of the Game?
I don't know. Oh, I guess the Diggs touchdown was pretty good.
John is beaten down. He's like, I don't know. The Bass field goal, whatever. Mike, what's your Sweet Sassy Molassy Play of the Game?
I'll go the Beasley touchdown.
The Beasley touchdown, the 29-yard touchdown, the second quarter, third and Cole. I like it on third down. All right. They went up 20-17. That was a good play. I'm going to go with the easy one, the 2-point conversion on the pass that I just mentioned, the Dawson Knox pass to Josh Allen. They were going to go up if they kicked the extra point. It didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but it would have mattered if they had gotten that first down at the end of the game. Because then, you know, they're going for the touchdown no matter what. So I guess it didn't matter if they missed that 2-point conversion, but it's good to see them. I feel like in past seasons, they never make those 2-point conversions. So that was good to see. more creative play calling by Dable. I just wish he kind of used that sort of creativity. Of course, if it doesn't work and he does one of those, like, you know, passes to handoffs, you know, to Isaiah McKenzie, then a handoff to Dawson Knox and a pass to Josh Allen. If it doesn't work, then we're just like, oh, why you get so cute, Dable? Why doesn't just run it up the middle? Just do a QB sneak. So I'm not going to blame Brian Dable too much for that. So those were the Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Now let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Let's start off with our Wall of Famers. Wall. I'll go first on this one to liven up the crew over here. I'm going to go Josh Allen. For fire emoji Josh Allen. I thought he had a great game. You know, obviously there were some plays that I would have liked him not to do. There was that play where he threw it to Manuel Sanders in double coverage and it was almost picked off deep into Titans territory, but he did it earlier and he drew the pass interference. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. And obviously the interception was costly, but overall, I mean, he was the reason why the Bills were still in the game, because this, you know, this number one ranked defense that the Bills had just didn't have an answer for Derrick Henry. So if, like John mentioned earlier, the Titans scored on like their six previous possessions before the end of the game. So Josh Allen pretty much had to put the team on his back, and I thought he did a good job minus the last series, and could have gone either way. So, Mike, I'll go with you next. Who do you have on your Wall of Fame in today's loss?
I think I'll go Diggs, Nate. Sure, Allen had a great game, but I can't put him up every week. And just the last couple plays, just an inch or two would rewrite the game, and for sure. So I'm going to go Diggs. 9 receptions, 89 yards with a touchdown. He had the long 17-yard. It just was all over the field, and it's like he's Allen's safety blanket and a deep play throw. Maybe an oxymoron, but he's all over the field. Love watching him play.
Yeah, same here. John, who do you have on your Wall of Fame in today's loss?
Screw it. I'm going with McDermott.
Oh, why is that?
Dude has got the culture set. He has faith in his team. He's willing to make the aggressive decisions to win the game. I think over the long haul, that's going to pay off. And we've already seen that pay off over the last couple of years. I'm going with Sean McDermott.
Oh, big picture. Big picture Wall of Fame. I like it.
I think it was just for this game. I think it was supposed to be just for this game, John.
Yeah, I picked McDermott for this game.
I'm going to give it
to Terry. Well, it clearly didn't work. Like, he cost them the game, if you're going by that decision at the end. Had no plan to stop Derrick Henry.
You can make... Think about a poker game, right? You can make the right decision. The odds are in your favor, and you still lose the hand, right?
That's a good call there, too, John. I don't know. I was never that good at poker. Is that how you... you still make the right call, and you... I thought it was over whenever the river came up. Did the last card... The turn?
There's the flop, right?
Flop.
The flop turn river? Is that right, John?
Flop turn river.
Yeah, we should play again soon.
That sounds like somebody... John would always, whenever we play poker together, I remember right after college, we'd play every Monday night. It was so cool back when we had time. And John would like look at the... He'd look at his cards, and he'd look at the pot, and he'd count up in his head every time. I'm like, what is John doing? That's so dumb. And then I would just like raise just some crazy weird amount, even if I was bluffing. And then I'd eventually lose or be the first or second one out. I'd be like, can I buy back in? Can I? So maybe there is a method to what John's doing. So I'm going to give it to now... Terry and Kim Pegula for hiring Sean McDermott and buying the Bills franchise is my Wall of Fame. So,
who invented football? I'm gonna revise mine.
rugby players. Have you guys ever gone to the Pro Football Hall of Fame? So
I have not.
I know Nate. John has.
I do too. That's why I'm waiting for him to speak up.
Yes.
So I always enjoy that because it's like you see the old photos of the guys playing football, and it's basically like a backyard game. It looks like just a bunch of buddies that just like got together and just like, let's play this game that's kind of like rugby. And they're just kind of wearing like uniforms, you know, a little bit. That's basically what it took to become like the founding members of the, it wasn't like the first game in a stadium, like one might think, you know, in the 1920s, it was just like, oh, we have like 20 guys that like to play this game. So we'll divide it into like two different teams. And that's how it was. That was the game. We could start our own league, our own sport somehow. So
I feel like I'm surprised that you're surprised that it started at a grassroots level.
Well, I feel like you know, just expect like,
hey, let's build a giant stadium before we even see if this works.
If you build it, they will come.
Did they even have like stadiums in the 1920s? Did they even have like skyscrapers back then? I don't know if they had the technology to build it. Anyway, it's late, getting off topic. Let's go to our wall of shames.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Who do we put on our wall of shame in today's loss? Mike, I'll start with you. Who do you give the shame to?
The equipment manager, Nate, who's in charge of Josh Allen's cleats. I think another, how do you measure the length of a cleat? Is it metric? I don't know. But I think the next tiniest size up might have made the difference in this game.
He needed more grasp of the grass.
So a little more sweat. Purchase, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. It's a good one. John, what do you have as your on your wall of shame?
It's the red zone offense. I mean, how many times you get inside the 5 or 10 yard line, come away with a field goal, and it's becoming a recurring theme this year, and obviously they can get away with it in a lot of the games, but obviously they couldn't in this game.
I feel like we've talked about that on recent recaps. It's like, well, you know, it's kind of a shame. Like they left a lot of points on the board. You know, that might matter against good teams. And I think to your point, John, it came back to bite them this week. I'm going to give it to the run defense. Obviously, Derrick Henry just ran all over the Buffalo Bills. They had no answer for them. Leslie Frazier had no answer. The Bills defense couldn't stop him. There were a few plays, obviously, where they did stop him for only a couple yards or in the backfield, but that was short-lived. The Titans' offensive line is porous in general, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter. The Bills could not stop him, and that was all that they needed to get going because, you know, Tannehill can only do so much on his own, but he didn't have to do a whole lot because Henry carried the load. So, I'm going to hand it to the Bills run defense. So let's go over to Twitter real quick. We'll read a few of these tweets. I'll read the first one in. David Scheibel, listener of the podcast, wrote, "Sweet Sassy Malassi played the game that knocks 2-point conversion to Allen. It's so cool to see goal line trick plays." Yeah, I agree, David, especially when they work. Those are also a fan favorite of mine. Wall of Fame, Bills receivers. They did the best they could and were trying so hard. Wall of Shame, Bills O-line. They couldn't protect Allen to save their lives.
They were trying so hard. Like, what? Reminds me of The Rock with Sean Connery. Your best. Like, what are you talking about?
Continue. No, what does he say? Okay. What else does Sean Connery say?
Look at it. I mean, you do a better Sean Connery impression than me.
That's not. I do a better impression of like whoever, Norm MacDonald doing an impression of Sean, whoever did it. Like, not an actual. Your best. Your best doesn't go back and bleep the prom queen. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Or loser. No, you're.
Losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and yeah.
Cheering from afar, writes Wall of Fame Poyer for the F-bomb. I love when they go close to the players, like after a touchdown, and they definitely don't have a time to bleep it all out. Wall of shame. WTF is going on with the NFL officiating in an age where there's probably a camera watching me scratch my arse? Why can't they call plays consistently? Is it just an anti-Bills thing or what? We got beat up into the bye and regroup. Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame that, like, in this day and age, they don't have sensors in footballs. I feel like we've talked about this before. So you can tell exactly where it breaks the line of the sideline. So, like, sensors in the sideline, sensors in the, like, every single point within the, it's like, how do they not have that? It's like they don't want that. It's like they're just like, we just don't want to deal with it. Like, God, leave us alone. Like, let us just make our money. Why do we have to make it any better?
Does he spell it that way because he's Scottish, or is that get around like a Twitter?
Yeah, yeah. Cheering from afar is from the UK. It's Saxa Dave from the UK. Huh. Yeah, England, I believe. Great Britain, England.
What's the difference again?
I don't know, Mike. I don't know. I thought world geography was your thing. I just found out that global studies didn't include American history a few podcasts ago. So why are you asking me? yeah, maybe I would have done better in that class.
I wonder when history became social studies. John, are you still with us?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Josh Rinkin writes in, Wall of Fame, Cole Beasley was there. He was always there for Allen to find him. Wall of Shame, 100% is the defense. They literally never touched Tannehill. They started so well, but are you kidding me? The Jets sacked that butthole. Why couldn't we? Yeah. So not only the run defense on the Wall of Shame, pass defense, the pass rush, all around this defense that you know was coming back to 2019 form, obviously hit a speed bump tonight. You think they were looking forward to the bye too much? I mean, how can you not, right? Like, not for nothing, but when you know there's vacation coming at work, like, I mean, how hard is it to really, like, unless you have a deadline due before vacation, which I feel like I always have some huge project or something, like, you're checked out like days before work, right? Like, just mentally, like, you're already on vacation. You're thinking about, what do I need to bring? What do we need to have ready? Like, I can't wait to get out of this. I can't wait to not work. I can't wait to be somewhere sunny. Like, right? You think they weren't, you don't think they were looking ahead, do you?
No, I disagree. They lost to the Chiefs and Titans back to back last year. I think they were going to be just as prepared for this game as they were last week against the Chiefs. And to your analogy, no, I disagree with that as well. I want to get all my ducks in a row and make sure everything's done before I leave, so I don't come back to even more work.
Well, I didn't say you didn't try at work, John. I wasn't implying that you just give up. But I just say that you're.
Why would you question his integrity, John?
John's basically saying, like, I have no work ethic, is what I get from that.
Well, that's what it sounded like.
Well, I have 7 bosses to report to, John, okay? I just do. I have to, if I do something wrong, I have to hear from 7 different people. I do just enough to just not get fired.
Well, if all you're doing is TPS reports, I mean.
This whole system was set up during the industrial age. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make it. Why 40 hours a week? Why am I not working like 4 hours a day with a 2-hour lunch?
A siesta would be nice.
Oh, I'd love a siesta. The Europeans have it right, man. Speaking of cheering from afar, Sax and Dave, write in next time and let us know how many hours you work in a work week. Is it less than 40 over there? Because if so, and you can still watch, you can still stream Bills games, you might have 3 new residents in the UK. I read somewhere recently, it was like Uber Facts on Twitter, that they did it because it was like 8 hours of work, 8 hours of recreation, and 8 hours of sleep. Like, that's how they figured it. I'm like, well, it wasn't necessarily the workers that figured that one. Someone above them telling them, you got to do a... All right, give us a 30-year date. That's all we need. Rob Zach writes, Wall of Fame, the Bills fans who traveled for the game. Wall of Shame, allowing six consecutive scoring drives and settling for field goals. Elizabeth She writes, Wall of Fame, Dable. Wall of Shame, Smith, and the special teams penalties. Honestly, every freaking time there's a penalty on special teams. Yeah. Well, only if it's one to win the game. Man, we went easy on Andre Smith and the Wall of Shame. We probably should have all given it to him, because had it not been for that block, which didn't really seem to help the play, or at least the run back. Because, you know, in some of those holding calls, you're like, well, there's no way that guy would have gotten a touchdown had he not done that. You know, had he not held four people, then he would have, you know, probably got tackled. But this case, I think it was after Isaiah McKenzie already went past Andre Smith to lead injury to insult to injury.
I thought it was kind of a ticky-tack call, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it could have been not called, but I didn't think it was. Like, remember last week against the Chiefs, like Mitch Morse was called for holding when he just blocked the guy, like he pushed him. And they're like holding, like, wait, what? At least this time there was definitely a jersey grab, but I can see them not calling it. Mike, what'd you think? What'd you think about that holding call? Did you think it was, I thought it was ticky-tack, but I could definitely see them calling it. I like to think that on the Circling the Wagons podcast, we're the least biased podcast.
In the world, would you say?
Podcast. Yeah.
Oh.
Probably in the world. I think if anything, we give too much credit to the, or we don't give enough credit to the Bills. Like, we want them to lose sometimes almost. That's how unbiased we are.
Just like, but taking into account our bias, overcompensating.
Overly, yeah.
Yeah.
Overcorrection.
No, I agree.
Instead of just going more towards the middle, we have to, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Mike, what did you think about that holding call?
Same. Nothing egregious, but you see it called frequently, I would say.
Yeah. The good thing about this broadcast team, the one good thing, is it seemed like they would replay those penalties, because I feel like even in primetime football, like those huge, you know, game-changing penalties, they're just like, all right, next play, you know. Maybe it's just because they actually had time because it didn't end up being a touchdown. It had to be reviewed or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, Jen writes in. She says, Wall of Fame, the Bills Mafia, for showing up so big in Nashville. I did see a stat that like 58% of the fans in Nashville in the game were Bills fans, which is pretty incredible if you think about it. And then, you know, it's funny, in the pregame show that I did with the guys, Bruce was like, how embarrassing is it to be a Titans fan and realize that there are so many players or so many other teams, fans showing up to your stadium and you can't fill it up. And it's not like the season's over. Like, the season started, you're 3-2, you're a decent team. You should have more fans than that. I thought that was an interesting point. She also writes, Wall of Shame, officiating as it seems to be every week. The inconsistency is the only thing that is consistent week to week. Very good point. Mike Graham writes, Wall of Fame. Mike Graham's a funny follow, by the way, on Twitter. Just his replies to tweets are really, really funny and witty sometimes. I always get a chuckle. Wall of Fame, Tremaine Edmonds. Dude was hitting hard. Yeah, Tremaine Edmonds had a great game today. Wall of Shame, the fact that we play like crap every time we play the Titans. Two games this year, we have been in a tight game and lost because our red zone was freaking awful. I'm sick to my stomach. The Titans didn't win that. We lost it. Oh, good point. All right, we'll get one more in before the end. Private Joker 2003 writes, Wall of Fame, don't want to hear about a couple of plays where Allen didn't see a receiver or slipping on the sneak. Allen was a machine and played a near perfect game. Edmonds was great as well. Wall of Shame, the front four minus Star. They lost at the point of attack in running and passing. So he puts it on the D-line. I like that one. So thank you all for tweeting at us at CTW Pod, like at Circling the Wagons Pod. That was the Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers segment brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Guys, this was, it wasn't a fun recap. I got to admit, like, one of the things that stinks, and obviously, you know, appreciate always when Mike and John stay up with us and we talk about this late into the thing is that it always kind of stinks when they lose. I'm sure Bills Mafia is feeling that. I'm sure everyone that took a vacation to go to Nashville from Western New York or wherever you might live, they're feeling that. They're like, they're staying up late, not only to be at the game in Nashville, getting a ride back to the hotels, getting up early for the flights. I mean, it just feels so much different after a loss than it does a win. So, you know, props to everyone that made the trip, that made it seem like, you know, everyone kept calling it Nashville because of all of the Buffalo Bills fans and Bills Mafia showing up in Nashville. So, shout out to everyone that did that. And yeah, so we have the Jaguars in a couple of weeks. We have the bye week next week. I'm going to pull someone in from the media or someone that we like to talk to on the podcast for a bye week discussion and interview. And yeah, we'll talk to that. We'll plan on meeting if anyone wants to meet us at the DeLago Casino and Resort on the November 7th game. We can meet you there. Talk Bills. Just let us know, either DM us or tweet at us or message us on Facebook or Instagram. But yeah, obviously a disappointing loss. None of us are happy about it. I'm not as angry as I could be, but obviously disappointing. And almost forgot to do the giveaways for the podcast. We were giving away an Ed Oliver signed jersey, a Daryl Talley signed jersey, and 2 T Public site shirts. Those are from our T Public store, where we have hundreds of Bills designs as tpublic.com/stores/CTWpod. And if you're interested in being a part of our weekly giveaways, you just have to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Just mention CTW or CTW Pod somewhere in the description. And this year we're doing another twist to it, and that's adding another podcast on the network, because those guys do a great job. It was really cool to talk with Joe, Big Newt, and Bruce earlier before the game. And I mean, those guys do an amazing job. So they need props too, not just obviously us that are doing the giveaways, but, you know, let us know what you think of all of them or some of them or whatever. So also, you have to be listening to earn or to win the prizes, and you have to contact us after you win. So man, ride or die, you got to listen when they win, when they lose. You know, you take weeks off, and then you might have missed a jersey, which several people have, just because they weren't listening that specific week. So we're doing 4 giveaways. The first one to get back to me gets to choose which of the 4 items that they want to keep, or which one that they want specifically: the Ed Oliver jersey, the Daryl Talley jersey, and the 2T Public shirts. First winner is Dylan Sabo. That's Dylan Sabo. First winner. Second winner is Rich Perks 27. That's Rich Perks 27. Third winner is Yorkies 716. That's Yorkies 716. I think that's like Yorkies like the dog. And the fourth winner is Lego Link 19. That's Lego Link 19. So again, first one to get back to me wins. Be sure to leave more reviews in Apple Podcasts, because if you're listening each week, which I know a lot of you are that aren't part of this giveaway, we don't remove your name if you've won already. So there's chances, we've had several people, their listeners, that have won multiple items and that are still in the winning or in the running to win more. So definitely get in on that. Leave us more reviews and let us know what you think of the show. And yeah. So John and Mike, do you have any final thoughts about the game or anything else in regards to the Bills loss this evening?
I would just say it was a awesome game, instant classic with the lead changes and prime time. Really had a blast. Because if you can't enjoy the moment, like what's the point, right? Like and long term, I don't think it impacts things to a huge extent. The Bills are still have a 97% chance to make the playoffs, 93% chance to win the division. 23% chance for a first round bye, and they're one of four teams with double digit chances to win the Super Bowl. You have the Bucks, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Cardinals, and we're right there. Like, it's an awesome time to be a Bills fan.
So Mike with the optimistic view, I like it. John, are you feeling a little bit better after Mike said that? Are you still in a rough place? You can be honest.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we can't lose next week, right?
John, I love you, man. That is a fact. Factually correct. We cannot lose next week at all. I mean, it is. It sucks, but I'm not going to let it get to me as much as other losses have. Like Mike said, it was a very entertaining game. It was a good back and forth. This is like a low-key rivalry. I think Bruce brought up in the pregame thing, you know, this is, people don't like to think about, you know, teams with, you know, outside of your division, but I think the Bills Titans rivalry is probably the biggest rivalry that we have going on in the AFC at this point. And I can't really disagree with that. I can't think of another team that the Bills really kind of go back and forth with.
Kansas City.
I mean, yeah, so far. The Chiefs and the Steelers, Titans, maybe those are always. Okay, yeah, the Steelers, yeah, they did just beat us, and we beat them a few times before that in a row. Yeah, okay, those are all good. The Ravens, okay. I mean, I'm just saying it's like a decent one. I think it's one that could continue, and they might see them in the playoffs. Let's just hope that the first round bye doesn't come down to this game, this head to head game. That's all we're trying to say. So, thank you guys all for listening. Thanks to Mike and John, obviously. For doing this with us, staying up late. Appreciate everyone out there in Bills Mafia, anyone that made the trip, anyone that's out there listening on their flight back or in the morning. So signing off for John.
Go Bills.
For Mike.
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. We will talk to you guys again next week.
Buffalo, stand up. It's the Mafia. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Yo. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Yo. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole. Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. You know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. Yeah. Ike McKenzie on a jet sweep. Maybe it's a fake. Honestly, it's a TD either way. When you got Diggs and Bees and Gabe Davis. Three-headed Singletary, Moss, Brader. Who gon' stop us? We the greatest. Forget Mahomes. Forget Kelsey. Forget Hill. Come and replay us. Cause we ready. Sebastian like Boogie. Yeah, we ready. Moving for Cody Ford. Ready, kick they bucket like Ike. Yeah, we ready. Dawson Knox with a spike. Are you ready? Season tickets, I'm hype up the team. Ready, Buffalo. This is our team forever. Forever. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole. Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Bill City. It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Buffalo Bill City. Yeah. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole. Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Buffalo Bill City. Yeah. What? It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Buffalo Bill City. Yeah. Taron Johnson with a pick six. It's just too easy. Don't pass it to Treyway. Please believe me, we got high right behind him in Poyer Free. Please don't run up the middle unless you wanted me to star. Greg Russo can show you what he's about. Trey Edmonds and Matt Milano can't get around him. Our team is grounded. Oh, yeah. Sebastian like Boogie. Yeah, we ready. Moving for Cody Ford. We ready. Kick they bucket like Ike. Yeah, we ready. Dawson Knox with a spike. Are you ready? Season tickets. I'm hype up the team. Ready, Buffalo. This is our team forever.
forever. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole. Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.